Our New Hampshire State Police segment each Thursday, brought to you by the men and women of the State Police and Auto Fair. Sergeant, I don't know if he's still Sergeant. He might be Captain for all I know now, or Lieutenant. But Josh Durth has been with Marine Patrol. He's been on the show before. He's excellent, excellent at talking about water safety. And we're coming up to that season. They just had a water survival training course for law enforcement. You got to tell me the rank now. Is it still Sergeant?
Yeah, good morning, Jack. Yes, sir. Still Sergeant, still enjoying my job.
Can we promote you now live on the air? I mean, we could probably pull that off. I mean,
well, I'll have to make some phone calls for that, but I'm open to anything.
Sergeant, how many years now in Marine Patrol?
Well, in this this coming September, I'll be 19 years full-time, and I had 6 years part-time before that. Wow. Really enjoy everything that this position has afforded me in serving the boating public.
You know, I just, before we get to the water survival training course, you just held for law enforcement in their uniforms, by the way, because obviously that's how you're going to probably go in the water in an emergency situation. Talk a little bit, I mean, in your area of work, part of the state police, are there part of full-time openings? Because we're around the corner from spring and summer.
Yeah, there certainly are, both part-time and full-time. We do have some vacancies. You know, I credit the team here. They have worked feverishly trying to fill those positions. But our unit, no different than any other segment within law enforcement, is feeling that crunch and is trying to do our best to recruit talented and dedicated personnel. The team we have is great, but if anyone is listening and is interested, I would encourage you to apply.
Tell us about the water survival training course you just held.
Absolutely. Well, the Officer Water Survival course is actually a NASBLA-based curriculum. It's actually used nationally for maritime officers. The whole focus is high-risk, low-frequency, sudden immersion into the water. Now, that could be a boating accident, mechanical malfunction, medical event. It could be something as dynamic, like a use-of-force situation, or very benign. Somebody loses their balance, and they simply go into the water. We've actually been using this program now for about 10 years. We've trained our staff, other division members within state police, other state and municipal law enforcement agencies. And our ultimate goal, like with all training, we want officers to return homely. Officers to return home safely at the end of their shift.
Sergeant Durth, talk about the training. I mean, the mission of a Marine Patrol officer, auxiliary, full-time, part-time, it is so different, I think, like, for example, off Newcastle and Portsmouth or Squam Lake on freshwater. I mean, it's such a different, water's water, I understand that. I'm on more salt water these days than fresh, but it's such a different mission, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, you have to remember, our patrol boats are our offices when we're out there, and our officers are out there in all different types of weather and water conditions. You mentioned the coast. Piscataqua River has the second fastest tidal current in the country. That says something right there. And so whether it's wind, current, weather, a squall that's coming through, you know, we have to be at our best when the circumstances are oftentimes at their worst. Mm-hmm. And so the skills that we focus on in this is varies from different swimming techniques, how to do that more efficiently, falling techniques. If they are entering the water, what can they do to kind of stack the odds in their favor? Mm-hmm. If the officer has to enter the water quickly and they're not sure of the depth, how to do that while minimizing the chance for injury. We also go through breathing exercises and extrication techniques. And that could be as simple as making sure the officer is stowing their lines in a certain way, because that may be beneficial in a self-rescue situation. A lot of people don't realize that when we take an officer and we submerge them into the water, they've gained between 15 and 20 pounds just from that wet weight.
Yeah, I imagine. Sergeant Durth, the other thing I think inevitably and sadly, and I don't want to say this and assume it's going to happen this year. I hope it doesn't. I hope there is zero. But I always hear about incidents early where obviously, you know, my own opinion, we've had kind of a normal winter. I mean, I have friends that are really psyched that the skiing's still happening up north because they've getting a little bit extra here in April coming up. But, you know, people are anxious to get out and fish, and they might go to a river or a brook or a small pond somewhere and think, you know, no big deal, I'm going to go out, and it's a little chilly. And I think they forget that water's colder, and if there's a mishap and they fall in, you know, hypothermia, people may not have that life jacket secure. There always seems to be some early stuff of people miscalculating the temperature in the water, not really as warm as they think yet. Talk about that.
Well, last year, Jack, we there was 26 drownings that were reported, and you know,
really, last year in this state?
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would have guessed maybe six. Wow.
Right, and so I think it's important to remember that not all of these happen on a big body of water, right? They're just what you described. It could be somebody fishing. It could be somebody on the side of a riverbank. You know, accidents happen, emergencies happen, and they're not planned. And so I would always encourage everyone to, number one, dress for the water, not for the air temperature. And then number two, have a life jacket. If anyone ever tries to put on a seatbelt after a car crash, I would say it's probably too late. And if we can carry that example over, I think it stands true with the life jackets as well. They save lives. It's proven. That's why our officers wear them every day when they're on the water.
You know, it's amazing because people can drown in, you know, 6 or 7 feet of water as well as 200 feet in the Atlantic, right? I mean, it really, water is water. Well, again, what are some of the common, before we let you move on, Sergeant Durth, New Hampshire Marine Patrol, part of the state police, brought to you by Auto Fair. What are some of the reminders that may seem basic? You know, I just have always had an attitude, whether you're on the water or in the mountains, you over-prepare, you over-bring, you never know if someone's going to have a bee sting incident and go into a reaction to that. You know, do you have Benadryl around? Do you rope, hats, gloves, life jackets on the water? But the other thing, too, is life jackets that fit. I think a lot of times people just get that life jacket. You may go to, like, you know, a store and get a life jacket, and all of a sudden, you know, West Marine or wherever, and it's still wrapped, and you put it in, and I don't know what the Coast Guard does or Marine Patrol, if they board you to check whether fire extinguisher, life jacket, and some of these things, but it's not going to do you any good if that's wrapped and there's a kid there, an 8-year-old kid, you got to get a life jacket on, and, you know, the straps aren't custom fit yet, they're not ready to go, if you will.
Yeah, those are all very valid points. And so I would encourage everyone to make sure they have a properly fitting U.S. Coast Guard approved life jacket. And when we're talking about youngsters, they have to be wearing them by law. So to do it after the fact, you know, I think that's a dereliction of parenthood, right? Or just being a conscientious adult in that case. And for adults, not only do you have to be able to put them on, but you have to know where they are. Every time we make contact with a boat during a stop, we do go through a safety inspection to make sure they have all the necessary equipment. And sometimes it's alarming at how long it takes someone to try to locate a life jacket, only to find out that they don't have enough. Or, to your point, they're still in plastic. And sometimes they're proud because they look so new. And I'm like, man, that's going to be real tricky to take all that off, you know, and cut the tags, and now you got to size it so that it will work. Going back to water survival training, that's one of the exercises that we have our officers do, and that is to put on an inherently buoyant life jacket while swimming in the water, and it is a struggle for them. And they haven't been in any type of trauma at that point, right?
Or imagine if there's current.
Yes, exactly. Exactly the point. So, you know, along the same lines, I think it's prudent to mention that they should be wearing those engine shutoff lanyards. You know, those are the lanyards that are attached right near the throttle assembly.
Right.
You clip that on, and it will stop that motor if you become separated from the boat.
Yeah, or someone falls over, and it may not be the prop, maybe not going fast, but it's enough to injure and, you know, could really hurt. Hey, real quickly, what about licenses? A lot of people, is it still 25 horsepower, you know, or more, you need an operator's license? And what's the best way to get an operator's license? Through Marine Patrol, through Coast Guard, and I know that sometimes Florida offers a good online course.
Okay, you hit on a lot of valid points there. So we do still require a boating education card, someone at the age of 16 or over operating more than 25 horsepower. And it's a certificate. It's good for life. I can't speak highly enough about the boating education instructors we have on this team. They are outstanding. Please sign up for a classroom course. You can either go online. Those links are available right through the State Police homepage for boating education. They can sign up for a course that might be closer to where they live. And I would caution people about using an out-of-state method to get a certificate. Yes, it is accepted, and that is fine. But I would ask you, are there laws, are there regulations the same? And I think if you're really interested in safe boating, it would be important to know what New Hampshire requires, because every state's a little bit different.
Every state, every region. All right, Sergeant Durth, thank you very much. If people want to learn more, what's the best way to follow up with you or Marine Patrol?
Well, certainly they can reach out to our dispatch, or they could call our general number, which is 603-293-2037. And they could always ask to speak to me or whoever else would best suit their needs for the question that they have.
Well, you're a tremendous representative for Marine Patrol. Thank you, Sergeant. We'll get you back again soon, probably in another 3 or 4 weeks when more people are getting out on the water. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Take care.